in relation to the Bible, so on and so forth. And therefore, this series is to promote an awareness so that you are in the know what the Bible is saying, so that you can be watchful, prayerful, and prepare for what is to come. So that is why we are doing this series. So we have covered, this is part 5, alright? Today, the text is taken from Revelation chapter 6, a very familiar passage now. And let's read some of the passages, and then I'll go into the sermon. So let me read to you Revelation chapter 6, verse 1 to verse 8 again, and then after that we go to Revelation 13, and then later on to Matthew 24. All right, if you have the Bible, please turn to Revelation chapter 6 and verse 1 to verse 8. Now verse 1 says, "Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seal, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, 'Come and see.' And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him. And he went out conquering and to conquer." Verse 3. "And when he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, 'Come and see.' Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that the people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword." And verse 5. "When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature saying, 'Come and see.' So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, 'A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine.'" Verse 7. "And when he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, 'Come and see.' So I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him, and power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, and with death, and by the beasts of the earth." If you can just move forward to skip and go to chapter 13, please. Revelation, the same book, Revelation chapter 13. I read from verse 16 to 18. Revelation 13, verse 16 to verse 18. Alright, Revelation 13, verse 16 says, "He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on the right hand or on their forehead, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark of or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of the man, and his number is 666. And then we come to Matthew chapter 24. As you know, right, Matthew chapter 24, Jesus is actually giving a highly summarized version of Revelation, the book of Revelation. So I just want to read to you the relevant portion. Matthew 24. Read from verse 1 to verse 8, and then I will read, skip and read from verse 44 to verse 47. So Matthew chapter 24, verse 1 to verse 8. Verse 1 says, "Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciple came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus say to them, 'Do you see? Do you not see that all these things, assuredly I say to you, no one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down?' Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him privately saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?' And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Take heed that no one deceives you.' That is seal number one. 'For many will come in my name and say, I am Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of war.' And that is seal number two. 'See that you do not be troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will come against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famine.' Seal number three. And then pestilences, earthquake in various places. Seal number four. Now all these things are the beginning of sorrow. And then I skip, and then I go to verse 44, and that is very interesting. And God is giving some solution to the problem that we will be facing. Alright, verse 44. After saying all these things, he said, therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. Verse 45. Who then is the faithful and the wise servant whom his master made rulers over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Verse 47, assuredly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. That ends the reading. Let me pray. Father, we come to you in the precious and the mighty name of your Son Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you are the God of the universe. You are the God that created the heavens and the earth. And every, Lord, being will bow down to you. And you know the beginning to the end, Father. The history of this earth and of the universe is all about Jesus. So we come to this word, and we just want to know, Father, Lord, what is your plan for your children, and what is going to happen, and what we are about to do, Lord. So I just pray that you grant us wisdom, that you cause us to be that wise virgin, and that we will be ready for your second coming. So this word open to us, that we may understand, and not only understand, but they will apply, and that we will be found to be the wise virgin ready for your second coming. So I pray that you anoint your servant to speak your word with clarity, simplicity, that every word that comes forth from my mouth will accomplish your purpose and your will, and it will not return to you void. And I pray that your children will have a receptive ear, and there will be revelation. It is not only head knowledge, but it will go into their heart, and that they will continue to love you, continue to grow in your word. They will grow into the full stature of Christ, that they will shine forth for you, Lord, during this coming dark days. So I pray, Father, that they will participate, Lord, in this great revival you have in store for your people. So in the name of Jesus, and God's people say, Amen. And so today I'm speaking on seal number 3 from the book of Revelation, as you know. And this sermon is installment number 5. It's entitled the seal number 3. I call it the widespread famine. Now so far I've covered the first two seals of the book of Revelation. As Jesus opened the seal, it's actually triggered multiple waves of event with pushback from Satan. And these multiple waves of event with the pushback will eventually reach a climax, or some climax on a global scale prior to Jesus' second coming. And therefore we need to be alert, we need to watch out for the sign, and we need to be prepared. And so let me quickly recap the meaning and the significance of the first two seals. Now in short, the breaking of the first seal is about deception by the satanic spirit. And then when the seal has been opened since AD 90, approximately the year the book of Revelation was written. And it remains open until the second coming of the Lord Jesus. And so the satanic deception will reach a climax when many will be deceived to worship the unholy counterfeit trinity of Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. That was seal number 1. And seal number 2, the apostle John saw actually a horseman on the red horse, and he was granted to take peace from the earth, and the people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. Now, in that sermon, I've already explained to you who that red horseman on that red horse was, when I link it back to Esau. And so in short, seal number 2 means war, conflict, and bloodshed. Nation against nation, one ethnic group against another ethnic group, and in particular, religious conflict. And so the red horseman depicts the Esau spirit of old, who is totally hostile towards Israel. And the seal is open already, and it remains open. And so it will reach again a climax during the 7-year tribulation period before Jesus' second coming. And the prominent sign to watch out for this second seal are as follows. Number 1, there will be an Antichrist, a red fury dragon, will lead some major war, and he'll show himself to be a military genius. And so you watch out for this Antichrist. And then second thing, there will be a prominent person called Esau in English and Isa in Arabic. And he will appear on the scene and he will take away peace from the earth. And he will instigate a global movement to kill Christians and Jews on religious ground. That is something that you have to watch out for. And then third, of course, this Esau will work with the Antichrist, the red dragon, to break the Israeli peace treaty to attack Israel. And he has at his disposal a great sword. The great sword means weapon of mass destruction or some nuclear weapon. And so that is summarizes seal number one and seal number two for those who have not been here for the last two sermons. The previous two sermons. And now I'm ready to explain seal number three. Now seal number three, it says in Revelation chapter 6 verse 5, he says, when Jesus opened the third seal, he says, I heard the third living creature say, come and see. And so I looked and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales on his hand, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius and three quart of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. Now here, fortunately, the scripture interprets for us the meaning of seal number three. It speaks of a time of widespread famine and hyperinflation. It says that a quart of wheat for denarius and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. What does that mean? Wheat and barley actually speaks of staple food. Staple food come from wheat. And one quart in the Bible is a measure of volume. It's about 1 liter in capacity. We all familiar with about 1 liter in capacity. One denarius in the days of Jesus is a day's wages. Now, how do we know? Now, if you remember, you read Matthew chapter 20, Jesus gave a parable of the workers in the vineyard. And each worker at the end of the day was paid a denarius, a daily wage of a denarius. So that is how we derive that one day wage is one denarius. And so if you read into the text, how bad is the famine and the hyperinflation? So in today's term, assume that the average income, monthly salary is $3,000 a month. That is translated into $100 a day's wage. So a day's wage of one denarius or $100 can buy you a quart of wheat or three quart of a barley. That means $100 will buy you a liter of wheat or 3 liters of barley. Now a liter of wheat can possibly feed a family of 6 people a day. And you have no more money left for other expenses. And so in today's term, the food price increase would be about at least 25 times increase. So what costs $1 will cost maybe at least $25 or more. Now barley is actually a far cheaper grain compared to wheat, 3 times cheaper. And so during Jesus' time, middle income people and above would actually eat wheat bread, while poorer people would go for a barley bread. So if you remember the story, when Jesus fed the 5,000, there was a boy with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. The loaves are actually barley loaves. It means that he comes from a poor family. And so that is how we interpret into the different meaning of the word in the Bible. And the verse also say that as for oil and wine, they will not be harmed. Now the oil and the wine were generally for the rich. In other words, in the midst of the food shortage and hyperinflation, nicer things will still be available for the rich people. So basically, that's in some way is happening in the world today. Now, the World Bank statistics says that in 2017, 44% of the world population live on less than $5.50 a day. And so with some exception, the very rich generally indulge themselves and do not care for the world because they were gripped by this spirit of greed and self-love. And so this famine that was prophesied in seal number three is a progressive prophecy. That means it occurs on a local scale And then on a regional scale, and then eventually it comes to a global scale. Now we are very familiar with the term called waves. You know, because we are all suffering from this COVID-19 pandemic. You have the first wave and it comes down. And then you have the second wave. And then you have the lapses. And then you have the third wave. Who knows how many waves there will be. So same thing in the seal, in the opening of the seal. All these events are multi-occurrence events. First wave, second wave, third wave. And so now you get the idea. Alright, so the scale of the famine actually will lead to starvation and eventually to a massive death rate. And so the black color of the horse is associated with the eventual death. Now, besides death, there is another subtle meaning of the color black, which I will further explain later. So now let me talk about what can possibly cause the food shortages. Now, it can be a result of one, severe wars and conflict. This can be the result of some major wars and conflict breaking out. And this is, of course, part of seal number two, the previous seal. And then, of course, food shortages was very evident after World War I and World War II. In fact, after the World War, food was so scarce and food rationing came about in operation. I remember my parents told me a few stories about how they suffer because of the lack of food after World War II. And then second, the food shortages can come about due to extreme weather condition, due to severe drought, flood, or big storms. Now, we are currently seeing extreme weather conditions in the world, and most countries are experiencing prolonged drought, or there was too much rain causing severe flood, and then they destroy all the crops. And they both can contribute to food shortages. Now, the third one is the pestilences, H1N1, bird flu, coronavirus, swine flu, mad cow disease. Now, when any livestock were infected with deadly pestilences, like H1N1, bird flu, or coronaviruses, they need to be culled to prevent the contagious spreading to human beings. Now, we are all aware that in this year, some of this incident happened, COVID happened, infected some of these livestock, chicken and so on. They have to just cull hundreds of thousands of chicken. That is a very drastic measure. And so that is one of the possible causes. And then, of course, the fourth one is locust plague. If there's any major outbreak of locust plague, it will have a serious impact on wood, food supply. Now, a big locust swarm can easily wipe out massive amount of crops and fruits of the farmland. So, for example, a swarm covering about a square kilometers, and it could actually wipe out a massive amount of food, and they can eat as much as 35,000 humans eat a day. That is how much they can eat. And recently, in fact, just in May, just recently, May 2020, a big swarm of locusts, few kilometers wide, actually invaded many countries in East Africa. And the locust plague was causing some food crisis among some African nations. And there was a serious concern then that it could spread to other parts of Asia and Middle East. Fortunately, it was contained at the regional level and it did not deteriorate to become a global scale. So since AD 90, the famines associated with seal number 3 has been open and it will remain open. So let me give you some records of the major famines that happened so far. Now, there were to date about many tens of thousands of famines since AD 90. Just to give you a few examples. One, in 1770s, the Bengal province famine, 10 million people died of starvation in India. The second one, in 1921, the Russian famine killed 5 million people. Now, China alone actually experienced more than no less than 1,800 famines. You may not be aware. For example, in the 1960 famine, the Chinese famine was estimated to take the lives of 15 to 45 million people. So what is my point here? So there were already many big famines experienced since the book of Revelation was written. And all these mentioned mega famines were killing actually millions of people, not thousands, but millions. Imagine what will happen when we go into the global end time famine. So the world is fragile and vulnerable to famine. And so when we look at the current world events and trend, there is a current big concern for world climatic change. And we experience far more extreme and erratic weather conditions than ever before. And currently, we are also experiencing, of course, the global COVID pandemic. Now, when the deadly virus also infected the livestock on a global scale, that will be horrific. And when such things happen, of course, out of the abundance of caution, the authorities will take very drastic measures to cull all the livestock and the animals in that locality. And so the situation can change at a very fast pace. And the prophecy about the widespread famine in seal number 3 will reach the highest severity level in the middle of the 7-year tribulation. Now, on what basis I say this? Now, if you can remember Revelation chapter 11, God says that he will send 2 prophets or witnesses on earth to minister powerfully before Israel for 3.5 years during the tribulation period. One witness or the prophet has the power to turn water into blood. That must be Moses. And the other prophet has the power to shut heaven and that no rain falls in the days of the prophecy. Now, this person is none other than Elijah of the Old Testament. If you remember, Elijah did not die. He was taken to heaven by the whirlwind and also the chariots of fire. And so the ministry that God gave Elijah of the Old Testament will be the same in the coming end days. What will we be doing? Now, Jesus personally said that in Luke 4:25, he says that in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land. That was clearly written in Luke 4:25. So what happens in the days of Elijah foreshadow the end days, in particular during the first and the 3 years of the tribulation period. And therefore, Elijah will come back literally. And he will declare that heaven be shut for 3.5 years. And the end time global famine will surely come. And so there will be a time of food shortages and hyperinflation when 1 liter of wheat will be selling for a day's wages. Now, however, during this time, the Antichrist will use the global famine together with other crises, of course, to his advantage. How? He will offer food to the hungry world to further consolidate his power. Because Revelation 16, chapter 13, verse 16 to 17 says that the Antichrist and the false prophets will institute a world ID system, an economic and a food program. And he causes all, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And no one may buy or sell except one who has a mark on the name of the beast or the number of his name. And so this is one of the reasons why the Antichrist can gain nearly worldwide control of the people. Now, God has seriously warned all Christians, under no circumstances are they to receive the mark of the beast during that period. And if anyone take on that mark, they will lose their salvation. And so your natural question is, how Christians are going to survive, are going to circumvent this famine over this period? And so now I want to revisit the question of why black is associated with famine in this book of Revelation, in this seal number 3. Now, there is actually a dual meaning why black is used to symbolize famine. Number one, of course, black is used to symbolize famine because, as I said before, severe famine and starvation will eventually lead to death for many people. And so there is another more subtle meaning connected to the color black. It seems that God is telling us that behind every dark cloud, black cloud, there is a silver lining for his children. And so, if you read the Bible carefully, and you can see a consistent pattern, the black raven is associated with the provision of food. Now, what is my scripture basis? There are at least four passages in the Bible that talks about this. And number one, he said, God gives to the beast its food and to the young raven that cry. That comes from Psalm 147:9, verse 9. And then second passage, Job chapter 38, verse 41. Job asks a rhetorical question. He says, who provides food for the raven when its young ones cry to God and wonder about for lack of food? So the obvious answer to this rhetorical question is none other than God. And then number three will be more obvious, this one. Of all the creatures that Jesus used to talk about God's provision of food, he picked none other than the black raven. Now if you can remember Luke chapter 12 verse 24, it says, consider the raven, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse or barn, but God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than birds? Now notice that of all the creatures that God wants to illustrate, he purposely picked raven, black raven. And so it's very interesting. Not only that, there's a fourth passage that talks about this. Now when God wanted to provide food for Elijah during famine, is written in 1 Kings 17, God sent the black raven to supply Elijah food. And therefore, the black horseman related to the famine has a flip side. God will provide food for his children. Not to worry. However, there are some qualifications. And this is what I'm going to cover next. How to prepare for this end time famine. First, walk in righteousness, and God will take care of his righteous during famine. That is an assurance. God will preserve his righteous sin during the great famine. There are two passages that talk about this. First is taken from Psalm 37, verse 25. King David said that I have been young and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken. He said, the righteous, I have not seen them forsaken, nor his descendant begging bread. Another one was Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 13 to verse 14. And God was speaking through the prophet Ezekiel, and the nation of Israel was sinning against God. And this is the word that coming through from the prophet, God through the prophet. He says, son of man, he said, when a land sins against me by persistent unfaithfulness, he said, I will stretch out my hand against it. He said, I will cut off its supply of bread, send famine on it, and cut off men and beasts from it. He said, even if these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they would deliver only themselves by their righteousness, says the Lord. That means God is looking for righteous men. By Noah, Daniel, and Job, they were all righteous men. And they were delivered by themselves. They will be delivered because of their righteousness. And so the point to all of us is this. So don't fret when you walk in righteousness while others are not. Now I understand that Christians are always tempted to say, what is the point of being righteous or walking in righteousness? Many of my friends, they were evil people. They were not walking right. And they seem to be blessed and they get away with these many things. Now, we are not living for the present moment, but for the future. What you do today will affect your future. And this is one of them. And so, if you walk in righteousness, God will preserve you. And so, we are not living for today, but we're living for tomorrow. And so what else can we do in preparation? Number two, be faithful to God. Then He will grant you the wisdom to provide food in due season. Now in Matthew 24, the passage that we just read, the disciple was asking Jesus, he said, what are the signs of your coming? And so after Jesus told them about the sign, and one of them, of course, is the famine, He also taught them how they can prepare themselves with regards to famine. But unfortunately, many Christians miss this key teaching of preparation in that passage. And Jesus gave the answer actually by giving a riddle in Matthew 24. Now the riddle, He gave us a hint as to the type of person that God is looking for. And it is a life story of a man that God raised up to provide food in due season. And the riddle goes like this in Matthew 24, verse 45 to verse 46. He says, who then is a faithful and a wise servant, whom his master make ruler over his household, to give them food in due season? Blessed is that man whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. And so, there are three clues to identify the type of person in the riddle. Let me break it down for you. First, he says that he is a faithful, and then a wise slave or servant. Second, hint in the riddle, his master put him in charge of his household. And then third, he says he provides food for his household in due season. Now, can anyone guess who this person in the Old Testament, who this person fits the bill? Anyone? Yes, Joseph. Very good. Joseph. There's no other biblical character who fits this bill than Joseph. Now, in what way? Let me go through briefly the story. Joseph was first sold as a slave, right, by his brothers. So he was a slave, he was a servant. He was sold into slavery. Despite being betrayed by his brother, he was not bitter, and he remained faithful to God. And so he was a faithful slave also to Potiphar, who put him in charge of the household. And then he was later thrown into prison for a rape that he did not commit. And while in prison, again, he was not bitter, but he remained faithful to God. Now, because of Joseph's steadfast faithfulness, later God gave Joseph wisdom to interpret the dreams of Pharaoh and what to do to prepare for the coming famine. And so Joseph was then promoted to become the prime minister of Egypt, the second in command. And God gave Joseph the wisdom to store up the food reserve, and then he was able to provide food for the people and his father's household during the famine. That means in due season. And Jesus wants to raise up many Christians like Joseph to provide food for their household during the coming famine, global famine. And your household would include, of course, your family and your local church. Your family is your natural household. Your local church is your spiritual household. And so, do you want to belong to this Joseph company that God wants to raise up? So be like a Joseph. Very simple application. This means that despite whatever injustice or adversity that you face in life, you choose not to be bitter or hold grudges. You remain steadfast and faithful to God in your conduct, in your service, and in your attitude. Then God will give you the wisdom and the discernment to prepare for the end time famine. And some people say, oh, you know, I don't have wisdom. You don't have to worry. If you are faithful, you are steadfast, in due time, God will impart that wisdom to you. And so, the condition for getting that wisdom is you remain faithful. And also, it means that during good times, we are not to squander away our money or resources. We are to save up some resources for the rainy days to come. Now, however, I know that some of you are not in the capacity to save money or resources due to your limited earning capacity. That is understandable. God knows and God understands. So just do your best within your limited capacity. That is what God requires from you. Just within your limited capacity. But if you live a life of righteousness and faithfulness to God, He will provide for you. And so in times of famine, some of course will be cared for by the well-resourced churches. They act as the Joseph's storehouse. And while some others will be cared for or provided for by individual Joseph. And so also note that God can provide different ways during famine. God can either give you one, wisdom to store up food reserve like Joseph, or two, via some miraculous supply of food. And so it is best to give you some examples so that you can relate to the Bible story. And some of the examples that God provides food during famine. The first one, of course, is Joseph, the story I told you, through storing food reserve. I don't have to further labor on this point. Second example would be the prophet Elijah. Now, this is a very strange one, because God first supplied the food through miracle, and then later through another person. You can read it in 1 Kings 17. And so initially, God provided food for Elijah miraculously. All right. So during famine, God instructed Elijah, go to a brook, a chariot for water. And there God commanded the raven to feed or supply Elijah food in the morning and in the evening. Now ravens are by nature very food greedy. They would gobble up all the food they could find, let alone serving you bread and meat. All right, no way. But because God is in full control of all His creation, even a food-hungry raven would obey and carry out God's command. And so every morning and every evening, the raven would bring food to Elijah during famine. And so that was a miraculous provision. Now later, that source of food supply ran out. And God sent Elijah to receive food from a widow, a poor widow at Zarephath. And when the widow gave whatever little she had, she was rewarded with a miraculous supply of food from Elijah's ministry. And then she became a believer of the true God of Israel. And so Christians need to be aware that the source of food provision may change during the famine. And so we need to be flexible and follow God's leading. And then the third example is this boy with a little 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he gave it to Jesus. You can read it in John chapter 6, verse 1 to verse 14. And Jesus' disciple and the crowd of 5,000, they suffered lack of food at a deserted place. And it was in the evening, late evening. And there was this boy who had a limited supply of 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. And he was willing to surrender it to Jesus. And so the Lord Jesus then performed a miracle of multiplying the 5 loaves and 2 fishes to feed the 5,000. And so the point is, whatever little that you have, when you give it to God in faith, it can become much. And so have faith to believe that God can do it again during the end time famine. And so the point I'm making is this. For those who are with limited earning capacity, you may have little, but you don't have to worry. If you surrender it to God, He can multiply it in the presence of many during times of famine. And so, conclusion. What can we learn from this story? Excuse me. Number one, if you are righteous and faithful, you can be assured that God will take care of your need. And so do not worry about how God will do it. That is not your problem. Now, if you reflect on the story of Joseph, the Elijah story, and the boy with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, the lesson we learn is this. That is number two. Whatever is within your knowledge and responsibility to do, God expects you to do. Alright, so be very clear. Whatever that is within your knowledge and responsibility to do, God expects you to do. Whatever that is not within your knowledge and capacity to do, God will do it miraculously. And so you just do your part, and God will do His part. And therefore, do not be too rigid and fixed in your thinking. During end time famine, Christians and churches need to be sensitive and to be obedient to God's leading. Now, the many stories in the Bible is actually for our learning. It's not for just a Sunday school story. Teach us what to do and not what to do. And so this very story illustrates this fact that you cannot be fixed because God is a creative God. How He supplies you the food changes over time. And then thirdly, during end time famine, it is not just a matter of getting yourself fed. It is about participating in God's love and plan to reach out to the unsaved, the backslider, and also, of course, the saved. Now, those who had the reserve food supply can step out to help others, to use it to bolster their faith of those who have not prepared. So in this way, the prepared were likely to participate in God's great miracle and to reap a harvest of soul during this critical period. So that is the purpose. All right, is preparing you not only for yourself, but also to help others so that more can come into the kingdom of God. There will be also some who are not Christian, not prepared to take up the mark of the beast, and they may be requiring help. And as you minister to them, they come into the kingdom of God. And so there are many things here written already, and God is teaching us how to prepare for the coming global famine. And so with that, we all need to be watchful. We all need to be prayerful, and we in turn can be prepared for this coming hour. There is always hope, and there is always solution for God's people. Amen. The Lord bless you with this message.